This is CliffCentral.com.
Who's every time you hurt me, the less that I cry. And every time you leave me, the quicker these tears dry. And every time you walk out, the less I love you. Baby, we don't stand a chance. It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbye.
Justice Malala, The Burning Platform. It's brought to you every week by Nando's. We check in on all the important political and social and economic stories, the things that affect all of us and even the things that we don't know that affect us. Justice Malala, South Africa's preeminent political analyst and sometime, according to Ben at least, sometime nefarious cartoon character assassin. But he's here this morning. Justice, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure to be here. Always good.
Well, it's nice to see you. And I know that you've been very, very busy this week with the news. There's so much to talk about. Mm. Can we start with Oros?
Well, I mean, there you go. Huh? Half a million rand just to go and have a chat. I found it incredible, firstly, that no one is denying that they got the money. When the Sunday Times broke the story, the ANC Youth League said, yeah, sure, we got the money. So for our listeners who haven't followed the story, this company, Just Coal, after 10 years of providing coal to Eskom, hears that, finds out that basically they're under pressure, that their contract might not be renewed, and they go around asking people, oh, what can we do to save the situation? And they land up with Colin Orosmaine, the ANC Youth League president. Mm. He says, don't you worry. You know, if you give me a little donation, I'll sort it out for you. Hmm. And off he goes. We don't know what he says to Matsala Koko at Eskom or to whoever, but it doesn't happen. But the ANC Youth League gets the 500,000 rand transfer. It's worth noting that some of his comrades are saying, actually, it was a million rand. Where's the other half, comrade Colin? But he's not saying. But what's amazing about this story, you know, Gareth, is that no one is saying, do you see how wrong it is to take money to go and influence government work? Colin and his comrades at the ANC Youth League didn't stop and say, oops, no, actually we can't, because these guys are looking at the quality of the coal, at their needs, that it's not just a business decision. As Joe Singh, the CEO of this business, said, he said, we wanted to find a political solution to this problem. What is a political solution to a business issue where the customer says, I don't want your product anymore, or I want your product, but will you improve the quality? You know, if there's an issue here, let's have the conversation about the issue. But no, it's okay, we'll go off and have the conversation and we'll find a political solution. A political solution?
Is this what a political solution is? It's bags of money, the same kind that Tabisi Jonas told us he was offered.
Exactly. So imagine, this is the thing. If the ANC Youth League is doing it, if the ANC Youth League is doing it, then is the ANC mother body doing it? Who else is doing it? Is the ANC at provincial level doing it? Is the local councillor in Tshwane also doing it and going off to, well, Tshwane is in the DA's hands now, but let's say in Polokwane or in Rustenburg or somewhere.
We have to be careful now which ones.
Yes.
And by the way, we're not saying the DA is completely guiltless, you know, it's yet to be proven.
Is the DA's guy in Joburg doing it so that he can go and have a little chat with someone else?
But here's the thing.
Joburg water.
What's his Santla? What is the one hand washes the other?
Oh, yes.
What's that saying?
The one hand washes the other. Well, in Setswana, it's Maboho dingua tebana. It's like,
right. Yeah. So if the one hand washes the other, which is
a, yeah,
so that you help each other, the same applies to the one hand corrupts the other.
Uh-huh.
So There's always a business involved, and there's always a government involved.
Absolutely.
And it's some government official, and it's some business owner. There's corruption all over the South African economy, and we see it in the Guptas, which we'll talk about in a moment, writ large. But in little municipalities, this must be happening, where you give this one a little brown envelope around the back.
Exactly. And another little one over there.
What is it about us?
Basically, what's happening, you're absolutely right. Can you imagine what's happening in
Putatichaba?
Somewhere in the Free State, you know, Mabale's home ground. I mean, it must be a little 20,000 here, a little 1,000 here.
Because if Oros is worth half a million, Oros is a fairly important person.
I know.
Then the people above Oros must be on a higher pay grade.
Yes.
We're talking tens of millions, maybe. Maybe in the hundreds if they're the president.
Yes.
Then down the line, you've got the small anyanas who are getting maybe 20, maybe 10, maybe five.
But let's not forget that way back in 2002, the first arms deal story told us that Jacob Zuma got $50,000. Which at the time would have been around 500,000 rand. So you gotta start somewhere with this corruption business, and you start small, and it's small anyana.
In other words,
and then you end up with the Guptas.
What Jay-Z earned in 2002, Oros gets in 2017.
15 years later. You almost want to stop and say, guys, can we please have some ambition? You know, if you're going to be corrupt, if you're going to take money, it's so that you can go fix people's problems politically, then, you know, take 50 million, take some big cash.
Well, the chickens come home to roost. I mean, the Guptas are losing case after case at the moment. I don't know how they're running their businesses. They can't have a bank account anywhere. Mm. They don't have auditors anymore.
Mm.
People are running scared.
People are running scared. Just think about it. As we speak, one of the, an audit firm, that is going
Sizwe Gobodo Ntsaluba.
Yeah, exactly. Sizwe Gobodo Ntsaluba has walked away from Oak Bay. Auta got a massive boost when the courts ruled that the Guptas and Bank of Baroda must freeze that 1.7 billion rand that was in the rehabilitation fund for one of those mines in the Optimum Coal, I think it was, in Mpumalanga. That means that at every turn, ordinary South Africans are making these guys stop and making them reflect and making them realize that you can't get away with this stuff. Even if Shaun the Sheep is sitting there and not bringing you to book, you will get other ways of going for it. So for me, it's interesting. The Guptas and Eskom, for example, Ben Ngubane is gone. Who's the CEO, the lacrimose, the ever came.
Brian Molefe.
Brian Molefe didn't get his 30 million rand. They've been forced to flip their business to Zwane Lemanyi. They've been forced to flip the mining businesses to a guy in Dubai who has no mining experience except for setting up a clothes business. So increasingly, we are seeing consequence in the system. We're just waiting to see consequence from our law enforcement agencies. So while the Minister of Police gets 1 million followers on Twitter,
He's very excited. He's more excited about that than, say, the fact that there are these heists at OR Tambo.
Exactly.
Which are now not just ripping off South Africans, but also international guests.
I mean, he should be
the things that preoccupy our friend, the Minister of Police.
I mean, the Minister of Police should be jumping up and down now, saying we need to lay charges against the Guptas for 1,001 different violations of the law. But he's excited about his million followers. Good luck to him. But ordinary people, organizations like AUTA, like so many others, are saying not in our name. So. Sizwe Ntsaluba Gobodo now has walked away. Think of all the others which are saying, I am not doing business with you. Think of the fact that they don't have bank accounts. Someone is still, of course, oiling that machine. They must be still moving money around. But their friends are getting smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. The circle is closing. And I think that we're beginning to reach a tipping point. I think that the Guptas will not be able to do business in South Africa. And at some point, the law enforcement agencies, the Hawks, the NPA, the SAPS, Commercial Crimes Unit, and so forth, need to do something. And I think it's coming, but it's taking too long, in my view.
Well, the embarrassment about them is that they should have been the first to act, not the last.
Exactly. No, absolutely. You're right. I mean, we are sitting here watching the Corruption Watch is going to the United States to lay charges against McKinsey. It should have started here. The Americans should be saying, uh-oh, there is a law enforcement agency somewhere in South Africa deciding to go after these guys. Why? We should jump onto it. But no, an NGO has to go to the U.S. while our guys are twiddling their thumbs here. Thank you, Sean.
So we must ignore Sean like he ignores us. I don't see any way other way for this to be resolved.
Oh, I don't know. I think, Sean, we need to keep the pressure on Sean because Sean will be forced. He doesn't have, you know, a lot of these guys think that time runs out. Time doesn't run out. In 10 years, you and I, I'm telling you this, Gareth Cliff, 10 years, we'll be sitting here. We'll still be giving him hell if he doesn't act.
Well, look at the Timmel inquest.
1971.
Right. And so there must have been people who thought, we've got away with this one.
Think of that cop, I think Gomez, I think. He thought way back in 71 that, oh, no, I'm the last person. I'm in the cell with this man, and he allegedly jumps out. And, oh, no, I've gotten away with it. He hasn't gotten away with it. 1981, 1991, 2001. Here we are, 46 years later, and the law is getting to him. So you know, if people like Sean Abrahams think that 20 years, oh, you know, in 5 years it will be gone, it's not going to go away. The 783 charges, counts of fraud, corruption, racketeering that Jacob Zuma faces are from way back in 2002. The first time that he was fired for it was in June 2005 after Shabir Sheikh was found guilty of bribing him. So here we are, 12 years later after Thabo Mbeki fired him, and he is still facing those charges. Get this stuff over and done with, and people like Sean Abrahams need to realize that it's never going to go away.
Well, let's talk about something that everybody was worried about. For a few days, it seems there was a canary in the coal mine who said that Malusi Gigaba and various other state capture agents were coming for the PIC. Mm. These are the pension funds of all of our state workers, all of our bureaucracy, all of the public departments.
Yes.
And this is a substantial amount of money.
Yeah. It's huge amounts of money. It's 1.9 trillion rands. It's mind boggling. It is bigger than, the money that we produce in a year in South Africa. It's massive amounts of cash. So what is happening is that, let me tell you what the outrage is. Take a business like Kulula, Comair. Mm-hmm. Comair runs, you know, cheap airlines, as they are called. They're very reliable. They fly all over South Africa every day. Mm-hmm. And they make a profit. They have made a profit for decades. Now, if you're sitting at home, you have, you know, 1,000 rand to invest or 500 or 100 rand to invest, you'd say, what are the 10 companies that I should put money in and they'll give me money? You can get an airline that produces money. If you're in the UK, you have EasyJet or Ryanair. There are airlines all over the world. If you're in Ethiopia, Ethiopia Airlines made more than $200 million profit just this year. So airlines do make money. They find it tough, but they do make money. SAA, if you go on your website now and try to check into SAA today, right now, you will not be able to, and you have not been able to for the past month. Why? Because they have run out of money and they can't buy new stuff. They can't maintain the old stuff. Essentially, we're faced here with a business that's been run into the ground by Dudu Mieni, the chairperson of the board, and Jacob Zuma's friend.
They haven't just run it into the ground. They've also wasted huge amounts of money that we can't seem to account for.
Money, opportunity, the opportunity to be a world-class, really world-class airline. And what we're faced with now is that they need cash. Because everyone that they owe is at the door saying, we think you're going to go down, so I want my money back now. And so what do? They go to the PIC, which is your, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're a civil servant somewhere in Pretoria, if you're a cleaner, your pension is with the PIC via the Government Employee Pension Fund. And so they want to take your pension and give it to a business that does not make money. Now, pensions work on this basis, that I take your money, I make sure that it grows so that it can look after you when you're 60 or 65 or wherever you retire. That's the basic, simple arithmetic of it. You can't take my money and say that's your pension in 20, 25 years, 30 years, and put it in a business that's going to collapse. It means that I won't have a pension in 20, 35 years. And so there has been...
I mean, if you're investing people's pension money, you must invest it in something which grows their money, surely, because inflation is going to mean that whatever it's worth now, it'll be worth less then.
Exactly.
So you should be looking at something that increases it by 10 to 20% if you can find those kinds of figures. Putting it in SAA would be like halving it.
No.
You're telling people... You will be eating dog food one day.
Exactly. No, it's down the drain. It's over. Those people will now be a burden on the state because they're going to have to get old age pensions, which they shouldn't be. They should be getting their pensions from their work. So, We know now that, on Sunday, Dan Machila, Dr. Dan, who is a highly respected investment professional, who is the CEO of PIC, he told the Sunday Times that, no, it's clear what's happening here. People want to get their hands on the cookie jar and enjoy the fat of the money that we are making.
This came up on the show today. Luca. L-U-C-R-E.
Oh, yes.
And I looked it up because we often talk about how this business is very lucrative.
Yeah.
But actually, Luca has a very negative connotation.
Yeah, dirty Luca.
So this is, from now on, we must refer to the Treasury as the Luca Department.
Or the Aluta. Continue. Yeah. So what is happening is that people want to get rid of Dr. Dan Machila. He says people want to get rid of him because they want to take 100 billion rand and give it to the entities that have been run into the ground by their cronies, so SAA, Eskom, and others, which basically CEF, Central Energy Fund, those sorts of guys, and just pour it down the drain. And he's fighting back. He says his board is fighting back. But the chair of the board is the deputy minister of finance. And the deputy chair is someone who's just come in, brought in by the same deputy minister of finance. My view is that over the next few months, we need to watch very carefully. And COSATU is on the game on this one, thankfully for them. That you need to watch very carefully that money is not stolen from the PIC to fund SAA. If SAA is to be funded, is to be rescued, South Africans must stand up and say, Jacob Zuma's friend, Dudu Mieni, must leave and must leave immediately. She should have left more than years ago and she still remains in office. So this is absolutely crucial. Professionals must run the place. It's possible to make money out of SAA, and pension us money. State, the state's money must not be touched to keep on rescuing Dudumieni. It's absolutely atrocious. People will know, our listeners will know, that her contract came to an end in at the end of August, and it's been extended into September and into October. Before you know it, she'll be SAA chairperson in 2020 or 2025. This is not Zimbabwe, where the national airline is run by Robert Mugabe's son-in-law. We can't run things like that here. This is not a banana republic, and we mustn't even go there.
Although so I did see one of the international newspapers, I think it could have been the Daily Mail, referred to us as an increasingly despotic.
It was the Financial Times.
Financial Times.
If the president's friends run everything like SAA, then we are increasingly despotic. We can't stand up and say, no, how dare they insult us this way? We are behaving that way. So
let's just take a look quickly at the SACP march, which, of course, is happening on this Wednesday. And then we need to discuss whether or not this is going to make any difference.
You know, I'm very partial to
Kossatu,
the communists
as well.
And Kossatu. I'm amazed that they're now standing up and jumping up and down saying we're marching against state capture.
Just by the way, Stumo Dlamini is probably not going to participate in this because he has lost all of his power.
He seems to have lost a lot of his power, but I was interested to hear that he is marching.
Oh.
He is in Durban. And he's made some interesting statements from there. So he's still around, but he is known as a Jacob Zuma ally and has defended Zuma quite a lot in many public forums. But
slippery ground.
He's on slippery ground, but he's still around, but he's not the main spokesperson for that march. But I wanted to talk about it because, you know, people must be held to account. Kossatu and the SACP, there is an opportunity for them on August 8th to tell their MPs.
When
the motion of no confidence was taking place in Parliament, they had a chance to say to the MPs that they sent to Parliament, remember that there's a huge chunk of former Kossatu leaders who are members of Parliament. There's a huge chunk of SACP leaders who are in the cabinet and in Parliament. They should have turned around and said, we don't like Jacob Zuma. We think he should go. Vote him out. They said, no, vote for him to stay. And then one month later, we're marching for Jacob Zuma to go. Hello? You had a chance. You had a chance to do this. You know, we haven't spoken about this enough. But Makosi Khoza stood up and said, you know what? I can't be part of this anymore. I'm walking out. She doesn't sit there and say, I'm going to vote for Jacob Zuma, but he must go. You can't do that. You've got to take a position and you've got to come through.
You speak with forked tongue.
This is the problem. And this is why people increasingly all over the world don't trust politicians, because they speak with forked tongue. This is not just forked tongue. This is my word. It's terrible. It's terrible. So Kossatu has brought the economy. Well, you know, they used to be able to bring
the economy.
They used to be able to bring the economy to a halt. Well, they haven't, but there are hundreds of thousands of workers who are not at work today because they're demanding that Jacob Zuma go. Hello. You could have done this a long time ago without bringing the economy to a halt for a whole day. We are losing billions of rand because of this strike. You could have solved this problem a long time ago.
So irresponsible.
So it's not
and
just
what does this do for workers? I mean,
exactly.
You know, in reality, like Kossatu's membership of the Tripartite Alliance stopped delivering for workers a long time ago.
We need to dedicate a show to the Tripartite Alliance and its dysfunction and its failure to really by Kossatu and the SACP to really do anything for workers.
All right, the last little bit of our time. We always check in on the Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma campaign. How are they looking now?
Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma must be sitting somewhere asking for tissues to be pushed in under the door, because she's in that dark room and she realizes now, I think, that her campaign has fallen apart. Last week, the Pietermaritzburg High Court, 2 weeks ago, sorry, the Pietermaritzburg High Court ruled that the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Executive Committee is it's null and void. It's unlawful, its election. So these are the people who organized, you know, there's a hat is dropping in Thekwini, and it would be, okay, we come into Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is coming to give a speech. Oops, there's the opening of a curtain in Umbumbulu. And Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma will give a speech. Basically, that provincial executive committee existed merely to provide a stage for Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma to hold forth and to, you know, give speeches. Now it's gone. That means that the most powerful entity that was backing her, it doesn't know what it's going
to
do.
Weren't they also the entity that was meant to try Makosi Kwaza for her ill-discipline?
Exactly. Those are the guys.
And she didn't even bother to pitch. She didn't bother to hand in a letter to them, because they don't exist.
They don't exist. So now they're saying, no, please don't dissolve us. The ANC took a decision that we'll have a task team in KwaZulu-Natal to see the next 3 months through to the December conference. That means that these guys, that means that the Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma faction or campaign doesn't have a moneyed entity to help it along. Suddenly, Cyril Ramaphosa can now go to Umbumbulu and give and open a curtain there as well. And Zweli Mkhize can just happily go to Umzimkhulu and open his own curtain there.
Umgababa.
Ah, oh, what memories. So it's now wide open. Then you see what David Mabuza is doing in Mpumalanga. He's also saying, I'm looking for a third way. Now, this is a guy who we've spoken about the Premier League on this show lots of times. So he's saying, maybe Zweli looks nice. I like his look.
Mabuza, we haven't considered him to be the most upstanding of politicians. He was a member of this now notorious Premier League.
Yes.
He then turned his back on, first of all, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, now seemingly Cyril.
Yes.
He's keeping his options open.
Yeah.
But this is all about him. This has got very little to do with
He was, you know, I asked him the question.
You had him on your show.
Yes. Mm. And he said, look, I will support and I will stand for the deputy presidency if there is a president who will unite us. Hmm. And I sat there and thought, and who would that be? It would be the president who picks you to be his deputy.
Suddenly they would be the one to unite us.
Exactly. But so he's no longer saying Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. He'd never really said Cyril, but he was flirting with him. So I think that basically Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma's KwaZulu-Natal is gone. Mpumalanga is gone. She's left with Supra Mahuma Pelo in the northwest. While on Sunday, Ace Mahashule tells the Sunday Times that, you know, I think the best candidate must emerge. Mm. I'm not married to this whole idea of a woman president. Mm. So basically you've got a campaign that looks like it needs some petrol, some water, it needs a lot of work. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is left with Supra Mahuma Pelo. Colin Maine doesn't seem interested. And Batabile Dlamini. Now, let me tell every South African out there, if the two people running your campaign are Batabile Dlamini and Supra Mahuma Pelo, my word, you are in trouble. Big time.
Thank you, Justice.
Absolute pleasure.
The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. This is a bumper episode. Make sure you don't miss next week, Thursday, same time, same place, with Justice Malala. only here on CliffCentral.com. What are you laughing at? You don't like my singing?
No. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, well, I
don't think you do. So you and me are through.
Okay, point of order.
All right, what a great song.
Point of Beyonce order. Girls, we run the world. Okay, what is this song about?
It's bills. It's about paying all these bills
that's
every
month. That's when she first started. She
So if you can't pay her bills.
Okay, I've got the answer. Yeah. She needed her bills to be paid. But now that she's combined with Jay-Z worth a billion, she's running the world. What's her to understand
here?
Okay,
so Jay-Z pays her bills. Again, it's like this whole...
No.
She's one half of a billion-rand empire.
She's saying that she's going to pay his bills.
Mm-mm.
But he's a good-for-nothing type of brother.
He's like
he takes her car.
Yeah.
He uses her phone.
So she's paying all of his bills, and she's sick of it.
This is why I ask these questions.
I don't think you do,
so you and me are through.
You know, I only want to love Beyonce. This is why I ask these questions.
All right, let me tell you something. This is the best Destiny's Child. In fact, it was the best Beyonce ever was as well. I loved that song. That one. Say My Name, Jumping. I remember all of those. That was like the early 2000s. Somewhere before 2006, yes. I know that much.
Ladies
and
man,
I was, yeah, that's right. Jumping.
Yes!
Ben is loving this right now.
So I listened to those songs.
All my jams back in the day.
I listened to those songs when I was driving around LA for the first time, and nobody'd really heard of Destiny's Child. And I thought, wow, this is such a cool sound.
See, I just hope
it was very different.
I just hope the brothers stepped it up who weren't being such deadbeats and not paying them bills after that song.
They're gone. They were in her past.
But exactly. If she was turfing you, I hope they went on to become better people.
Turfing?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the highlight of any of those brothers' whole CVs is that they once dated Beyonce or Michelle.
I'd put that on my
Kelly.
CV. Yeah. Well, even if I was dating Michelle.
I don't know if Michelle actually really dated.
Yeah, shame. Yeah,
no. All right.
Her heart's with Jesus now.
It is. You are right.
Burning Platform with Justice Malala will return next Thursday. It's brought to you by Nando's. But before we get onto anything else, would you like to have some news?
Yeah.
Or would you like to have Eastranders? What are you more in the mood for?
I vote Eastranders.
Oh, I knew you would.
We haven't had Eastranders in a while.
Yes, that's true. Yes, actually, it's been a bit quiet on the Eastrand. You would think that English cricketer, ginger one.
Ben Stokes.
You'd think he was from the Eastrand, right? The way he behaves when he's out in public. So, ladies and gentlemen, for your pleasure this morning, it's time for a little Eastranders. And remember, if you know any great Eastrand stories, you can always pass them on to us. Just send them to gareth@cliffcentral.com. Amanda has sourced a few of her own. Let's get to this morning's bumper edition. Amanda, do you want to introduce this one and let us know who this is? Or do you have any insight before we get into it? No, I can't hear you. You're going to have to come in here. Sorry.
Hey.
Don't know what's wrong.
Hey.
Sorry, Amanda. Hey. Don't know what's wrong with your microphone. We'll figure it out. All right, what do we got?
Well, all I can say is this person is Buck Wild. So
Buck Wild?
Yeah, that's a little bit of an Eastern term we use a lot.
All right.
A little bit of crazy.
All right, well, let's get to it. Let's see what we've got here this morning. Eastranders. A special edition for today, all right? Here we go. Let's first get the music going, and then here it is. For God's sake, is nothing working?
Three beers, and after two or three beers, I dropped the question, asked him to be my best man, and obviously he said yes. So after that, it was decided that we would now go out and celebrate. So off we went from bar to bar and having a great time along the way. And somewhere along the line, we managed to hitchhike and pick up a lift with a couple of Afrikaans guys in a bakkie. And we were going through Benoni and hitting every bar that side of Benoni, having a real party. And by the end of the night, you always land up at that last stop of your night. We landed up at the last stop somewhere in Benoni, where they serve alcohol till 2 or 3 o'clock. And after closing down that bar, we were walking out. We said goodbye to the bucky full of Afrikaans guys. And we managed to bump into this couple of this guy and this girl standing outside the bar with their motorbike. And somehow got into an argument. I'm not too clear on the details, but yeah, we got into an argument. Problem being is the couple, the guy was of average size and the girl was a beefcake, to say the least. She was, I'm not a small guy, and she was at least double my size in every way. I'm speaking guns, height, tall, and she was wearing a t-shirt that said weights, protein shakes and steroids or something like that. And somehow we managed to land into a fist fight with these lovely people we had just met. And from my side, luckily I was fighting with the boyfriend. Somehow my friend got stuck with the shemale, we'll call her, and she was giving him proper puss clubs, like proper. And anyway, after the fight and all was said and done, I managed to turn around and we had a look, and the Uber driver that I'd called for was standing there taking a video of the whole situation going on. So the moral of the story being, just be careful who you pick your fights with, because you never know when the woman takes on the man's role and gives everyone good hidings.
Wow. So they got beaten up by a girl, effectively. This is what happens.
Apparently.
Jesus. That's a rough place, man.
Dude, I'm just thinking the things that happen in the East Rand are just bizarre.
Well, there we go. There's this morning's episode of East Randers. Let's get into some news, Mubs.
All right.
What do we got?
Well, let's elaborate a little bit on one of the things that Justice touched on during the burning platform, which is the fact that South African Airways is fucked. It has to pay back 1.8 billion rand, which is owed to Citibank, and they have until the 30th of September to do that. Now, the 30th of September is Saturday. Today is Thursday.
I don't know how this is going to work. Wow.
Treasury.
Wow, that's terrible. That's really bad.
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. Okay. You must be so embarrassed.
All right.
The Treasury Director General, Dondo Mokgatjane, said that the bank previously indicated that they will not be rolling over this debt. The national carrier owes a total of 6.9 billion rand to debtors, with all debts maturing at the end of September. How on earth are they going to be able to do that by the end of the month?
They're not.
And then what's going to happen?
What must can to happen?
You were saying...
Angaz.
What were you telling me about not being able to book online?
You can't book an SAA flight online at the moment.
And why is that?
Because they haven't paid for their website maintenance. They haven't paid their suppliers. They haven't paid the people who do their online bookings for them, because they can't do anything themselves. They've outsourced everything. So if they don't pay, why should these people be supplying them? Which means if you do go online right now, you'll be able to book on British Airways and Kalula.
Mango?
Fly Sapphire. No, Mango, you see, falls under SAA.
So you can't book Mango either?
I don't think you book Mango either.
Guys,
so
this is major.
You have to go to their office and buy a ticket, an actual ticket. The actual pampiri.
Yeah, in 2017.
Yes.
Now, in July this year, the state gave SAA 2.3 billion rand to pay back money which was owed to Standard Chartered. And I heard Justice saying during the burning platform that if SAA are given another bailout, then we as South Africans should revolt. And we should ask the question as to exactly, like, what is it with this friendship between the president and Dudumieni?
Yo, she's got something on him, hey?
They've probably got something on each other.
Kids. Sorry, Ben.
What?
Cabinet are going to decide on Tuesday where funding for the airline will come from. This is according to the Deputy Treasurer General. Mm-hmm. Now, officials are looking to the executive for answers on how to service SAA's debts. Officials from National Treasury and the Public Investment Corporation, also known as PIC, have dispelled reports of a government plan to use pension funds to bail out the likes of SAA and other ailing parastatals. Jeez. One of the options on the table is the selling of government's 12 billion rand stake in Telkom to try and save SAA and other parastatals. How
that's like you, that's like you sell the good fruit and you keep the rotten fruit. It's so, it's just the most bizarre. You could see that the people who are in charge of our economy right now have no idea of how money works. They've never, ever been able to run. If you gave them a spaza shop, they would ruin it. If you gave them a, if you gave them two piles of money and you asked them to count both sides and then figure out what the difference was, they wouldn't know where to start. That's how useless the people in charge of our economy are. Telkom is great. Telkom is doing amazing stuff at the moment. They've turned that business around. Mm. It's beautiful. It works. It's got infrastructural footprint all over the country. Telkom are laying out fiber everywhere.
Mm.
They're a service we need. In a telecommunications economy, in an internet economy, Telkom have the opportunity and the potential to expand and become even more enormous and successful. What does Malusi want to do? He wants to take what is working in Telkom, sell it to people who will make a fortune out of it, so he can buy piece of shit SAA sometime. Because, again, they're going to put someone else in there who won't know what they're doing. Let me tell you something. We would not have the problems we have in our economy right now if we didn't have parastatals. Do you know what that means? If we had private companies only and we didn't have state-owned companies, we would not have any of these problems. It is because of the state-owned enterprises that we are looking at a downgrade constantly. It's like this frightening specter in the mirror every time we get near the mirror. It's because of state-owned enterprises that have been run badly that our economy is not growing. If we had private enterprise only, there'd be competition. Think about it, for power. Imagine if you could choose between three different power suppliers. And the cheapest one would be the one that you would go for, or the one that had consistent supply, or whatever it might be. But no, we have only one option, Eskom. Transnet. SAA. I mean, it's remarkable to me that British Airways, Comair, and Fly Safair can make a profit in an environment where the whole field is weighted against them and for SAA, and SAA makes a huge loss. That's just total crass incompetence.
But now, isn't the operative phrase here when they are run badly? Because what happens when our parastatals are making a profit and are being run successfully? Isn't that good for our economy and the country?
No, and there isn't one. There isn't one. You can't name one.
Telkom?
We've got about four. It's not a parastatal.
Isn't it?
No.
Why did I think that Telkom is a parastatal?
No, government owns shares in it, but it's not a parastatal. They want to sell those shares now. So even if it were, they wouldn't know what to do. So if Telkom were like how all of them were running,
yeah,
they would want to sell them all. That's how stupid this government are.
But wasn't there a time when our parastatals were not being run into debt and they didn't need bailing out?
Yeah, when there was load shedding and they weren't running their businesses properly. No, there's never been a time. This is the point. Do you want government running business? Do you want politicians, people who won a popularity contest, running business? Or do you want the best business people who started those business or who run those businesses for money? Do you want them running it? Who's going to do a better job? It's obvious. If you buy fruit from someone who digs holes for a living, you're going to get horrible fruit. If you want holes dug, don't get the fruit seller to come and dig your holes. Government are good at very little, precious little. I can't imagine a thing that they've done that's valuable. And yet, we let them run complicated operations like power supply, like the national airline, like rail and freight, the ports authorities, the road networks. Shouldn't let them have any of these in their portfolios. They don't know how to. And then put someone like Faith Mutambi in charge. Someone like Brian Molefe. Look what happens. Here's the CEO, by the way. What did you have to say, sir?
Might do that, yes. That'd be very painful if somebody hit me in the balls, especially a horse or a cow or whatever the case might be.
All right, there's the acting CEO of SAA.
Well, had a lot on his mind.
Right.
All right. Airbnb are about to enter into a new business venture. It is the restaurant reservation business. The renter room giant is now in the restaurant reservation business, hoping to provide customers with a memorable meal before they drift off in their home away from home. The travel accommodation startup launched in 2008, and they have now teamed up with Resy, which will be a minority shareholder in this new venture. And they're going to be offering table reservations at 700 restaurants. For now, it's of course starting out in America, in 16 US cities to be exact. Well, that's the way it goes. According to Airbnb executive Joe Zade, he says they make world-class restaurant software, and we don't necessarily want to go in that business. We don't want to put every single restaurant on our platform. We just want to put the ones that travelers should go to. I'm hoping that this is going to spread like wildfire. It usually does, right? When something is a success.
I think it'll work.
Yeah, restaurant reservations.
Why
not?
Sort of like when Uber going to Uber Eats, you know? They've got the network already.
Sure.
Got these drivers sitting in their cars. Why can't these drivers earn extra money delivering stuff? Makes sense.
Yeah.
The more they drive, the more they make.
And Airbnb has proven to be a success.
Correct. All right. Very good. That's pretty much all we got time for now. We've got Tim Duplessis, who is with CakeNet at the moment. He's their political analyst. He has been an editor of almost every major Afrikaans publication, as well as the City Press for a time and The Citizen. So he's a very, very well, a very highly experienced and an extraordinarily credible man in the field of journalism. And I thought it would be nice to sit down and talk to him. We've often mentioned, how many times have we been saying we wanted to get him in here, Sia? Thousands.
Just so he's pick his up. Brain and hear what he's all about.
Correct. He's coming up in a short while. Stick around for that. And then after Tim Duplessis, we've got The Unview with Alan Ford and Nathan Rowe. That's bound to be good fun. Yeah. So that's coming up just after 9. Okay, here's what you need to know in The Unnews this morning. First of all, a new poll's revealed that a great deal of Americans are worried Donald Trump is taking them closer to war. Tweets too much and is creating racial divides. Another poll suggests Trump doesn't give a shit and doesn't like black people protesting during the national anthem. That's all he cares about. COSATU were pretty happy with yesterday's march against state capture and general government mismanagement. Some are suggesting that they were marching to the wrong places, however. If state capture was the motive for the march, Sachsenwald was surely the appropriate location. Turns out they're against state capture, but not to the extent that they want to piss off the boss, though. And finally, video evidence of Ben Stokes assaulting some guys outside of a bar has come out. It doesn't look good for the all-rounder. He swung about 15 times and only connected once. England's head of selectors, Andre Strauss, said such a poor strike rate may make his future selection a little bit difficult. All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Tim Duplessis coming up next.
This is CliffCentral.com.